My name is Simon Perry, and I am here in Northwood on the Isle of Wight, actually in Building 41. And today is the 2nd of July 2024, and I'm here with
Jane Gibbs.
Jane. This is for the oral history project called Pax People, and thanks very much for coming along today.
Very welcome.
Can you tell me your year and place of birth?
I was born in 1954 in a nursing home in Brading on the Isle of Wight, but was brought up till I was about 7 or 8 in St Helens, which is a little village, lovely little village on the island. We moved to Ryde when I was 7 years old. And then I went to school in Ryde, and my parents stayed in Ryde until they retired. So,
And what was it your mum and dad did for
my
jobs?
dad was a builder decorator. Mum was a hairdresser. First of all, full time, obviously, and then when us children came along, she used to do a little bit at home. So, yeah.
And which years were they born in?
Oh God, now you're asking. Mum was 1930. And my dad would have been 23, 1923.
And growing up, what was that like? What was your
It
growing up
was
like?
super. I mean, I remember St Helens was lovely. With a lot of relations lived there. Some of our family were a well-known Isle of Wight family, the Toogoods, so there were lots of cousins and friends, and it was a tiny little village then. I went to Ryde High School, which is now Ryde Academy. Happy years, yeah. I wasn't very academic, I must admit. I liked sport. I just couldn't wait to leave. I did okay in my GCSEs, but I just wanted to travel. And that's what I did when I was 19. I took off and worked in Belgium for 3.5 years and then came back to the island. And yeah, that was until then.
And your dad had a connection with various versions of the Pack and Pax shops.
He did. I believe he started working for David Guy around early 60s, 1960. And he wasn't, that was his only job, but he used to go in and do repairs and help build some of the carnival floats as well, because they used to go enter Ryde Carnival. I'm guessing other carnivals as well, for quite a few years, I believe.
And what was the stuff he was doing in the shops for them?
He would do, I don't know, any alterations that David wanted doing, any repairs to the building itself. I would imagine mostly interior, not exterior. He knew them quite well, but he was always very respectful. I mean, it was Mr. Guy and Mrs. Guy, and they called him Mr. Simmons. So it was, yeah, it was, that was the way it was then.
Yeah, it's interesting that, I mean, obviously not a lot of that these days.
Not really, no.
Yeah.
For first name terms, and
Yeah.
yeah.
I guess probably when the branches used to have a bank manager, that was the last time that was used.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. Yeah. It was all very respectful then. And he would call Mr. Guy when he spoke to us at home. It
Oh,
was,
really?
oh
Not
yeah, it
even.
was never David or Elizabeth. It was always Mrs. Moody as well, was another one he'd talk about. So yeah, that's the way it was.
Do you know how he landed the work to start with?
I honestly don't know. No, I like to think because he was very good at what he did. He was actually. He was quite a perfectionist, and later on in years, he worked, gosh, till he was about 70, I'm guessing. And then he would always very pernickety about he would, and quite often would pull holes in the younger's work, ethic or what they'd done. So yeah, I would imagine he was a really good workman.
You can imagine somewhere where everyone's called Mr. or Miss, or that's that. I mean, this is what other people have said about Pack and Caliphords, and also Elizabeth Pack and Miss Packs. Miss Pack, I think it was, wasn't it? That everything was done to an amazingly high standard.
Ever so, yeah, ever so. And they were always very respectful, very helpful. I remember I actually lived, oh, in the early 80s behind Miss Pack's, and often used to pop in. I can't remember. I mean, to me now, it wasn't expensive, but it was in the days of a Dorothy Perkins, I'm guessing, and Etam's and all those other stores that were a lot cheaper. But I'm sure I did buy a dress once in Miss Pax, but it would be something special, and the same goes for Pat and Culliford's. Yeah.
With the we'll come back to your dad on the other bits, but that we were mentioning Miss Pack, that was the one. It's on a corner, wasn't it, that leads through to the back. There's a car park at the
exactly.
back.
Exactly. Yeah, it was right next to where Barclays Bank was, because mm-hmm. that's gone now as well. And it was right on that corner. Not huge, but it was, yeah, it was a lovely little building. And they used to have one-offs, if I remember. So if ever you went in there, you knew if you were buying something and wearing it a special occasion, there wouldn't be anyone else wearing that. So I can't remember who worked there then, but yeah, it was lovely, really nice, popular as well.
And it sort of got window glazing on the side as well as on the front.
Yeah, both sides windows, yeah. And I remember the clothes used to be hung towards the back, because there were proper changing rooms then. It was, I can't even remember when it closed now, but yeah, very sad.
And so that was seen as quite a place, the Miss
Pay. It was, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I can name drop other sure. places, but Vision Impact you've got in Newport, which I would imagine that was on those same lines. So quite expensive, but one-offs, as I say.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's really useful if you're going to spend some money to know if someone else is going to turn up without it. Yeah,
it is, but it was like that in those days.
Do you remember anything about the window displays or anything along those on the...
In Miss Pax, always beautifully done with the dummies in the front, the same as Pack and Culliford's, always refreshing them, bright colours always then, if I can remember rightly, but it was popular. Yeah, it was a shame really that it's all disappeared now, but there you go.
And when your dad was there, that was where French Franks is now, is that right? The Pack and Culliford's building there?
I think he did both.
Okay.
Yeah. You can probably remember, or you know more than I do, is when they moved across the road. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what year that was.
That was when they had Elizabeth Pax as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he would have done both. I think he would have done more the building that's currently going to be the department.
Okay.
I imagine he was there a bit more.
Because that was originally... It's Woods and...
Woods and Wilkins?
Yes, yeah.
Which I can't remember, to be honest.
Which sounds like an amazing shop.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's sort of like Hearst on speed, I think.
Hearst on speed, or really. Steroids. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's interesting. When I've looked at the French Franks one, it sort of looks like it was separate buildings at one point, but of course that was all one department store.
It must have been. Mm-hmm. I can't remember an awful lot about that building. I remember where the department is going to go, where that was. Mm-hmm. And I remember the big lovely staircase that went up, and then the bridal department, which was incredible. And you would get, not that I bought it, well, I know a friend of mine did buy her wedding dress there. And it was the place to go, really. And very, yeah, it was sad to see all the wedding dresses still hanging up there when I saw it like a year ago. But
okay,
yeah, it was, it was a great building. I can't remember an awful lot about the other one, to be fair.
So what are your memories of Elizabeth Pax, the Cross Street one?
The Cross Street one, I remember coming, because when I was living in Miss Pax, you could cut through the car park. You went in through the back door there to the shoe department, which was wonderful, wonderful shoes. And then you'd go down the stairs and there'd be the hosiery department right in the front. And then up the stairs were the dresses and the bridal dresses. I often went to the Coffee Bean, which was the cafe up there. Mm-hmm. Used to meet my friend who worked in Barclays, funny enough. And we used to have a jacket potato or a scone and butter. And that was lovely. It was lovely up there. Really lovely ladies. And quite successful, I believe.
The scones have come up a lot. Everyone has mentioned...
Have they?
Yeah, everyone has mentioned the Coffee Bean. has said, oh yeah, the scones are great.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I do remember this. The scones were amazing. I think Kay would, for me, it was sort of a snack meeting of air. And she would always, I think she used to have a jacket potato or something like that. But I do remember the scones were lovely. And it was weird because years later, when Fowler's, which was the opposition across the road, opened, I was a manager of their little cafe upstairs, which was called The Pantry.
Okay.
Which was on a similar vein to the Coffee Bean. So,
right.
Yeah.
How was the feeling at Fowler's? What was the relationship between them and the various pack stores?
I remember it as being okay. I really do. I think, if I can use the terms, I don't think Fowler's was quite as posh as Pack and Culliford's. Along the same vein, Mrs. Edwards was the boss there, and she would always call us by our surname. Always, I was Simmons then, so I was Miss Simmons.
Okay.
Always. On the same vein as Pack and Culliford's. But I don't think it was regarded as being quite as uppercut as Pack and Culliford's.
Right, that's funny. And were the cafe that was at Fowler's, that came after the Coffee Bean was there for a while, do you know? Or
I really don't know. I mean, I would have worked there in my early 30s. I can't remember. I would imagine it had been going for a few years. And I only found recently that a friend of mine that passed, older than me, but she passed away, and she used to manage the pantry, which I had no idea until we were at the funerals and they were talking about the past. But yeah, I don't know. I'd imagine it came after. I would think it came after. Much tinier than, it was smaller than the Coffee Bean.
Okay.
But still successful. And perhaps there was a competition going with it.
Right, I guess. Well, yeah, that's the sort of the spirit it's supposed to elevate all players, isn't it? When you were in the Coffee Bean having your potato with your friend or... We had heard there were sort of occasional fashion shows that models were paid to walk through with outfits to tempt people. Did you experience that?
I didn't experience that, but yes, I believe there were. I wish I had, actually, because that was something to have missed. But yeah, there were. But I didn't experience that one. So okay. I can't tell you anything about that.
And what was the feeling in the Coffee Bean? What was the atmosphere like?
It was lovely. Mostly ladies, as I remember. I don't think there were many gents that used to be, unless there were some gents that were dragged up by their wives when they were buying. But it was lovely, and the ladies would always recognise you, and not know you by name, but they knew. I think they used to know in the end what it was you were going to order before you did. But nice cakes as well. I wasn't a cake person. I was a scone person.
That's good. That's good. I guess what catering was like in those days and what it's like now, is there's no comparison, is there?
No, it was more laid back, not as quick, obviously. I'm guessing they had microwaves then. I don't know.
When did that sort of 70s they came out? Maybe
they did.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm guessing they did, but it was fast enough. I mean, obviously, my friend Kay would only have an hour for lunch anyway, so we'd zap in and get something, and then it had to be fairly quick. But it was very relaxed and totally different to say Costa now or any of those coffee places. So yeah.
Mm. And you mentioned the shoe department.
Yeah.
Did you ever have an opportunity of buying stuff there?
Absolutely, I did. I bought a pair of shoes there, leather shoes, which I must say lasted. In those days, you would have them heeled and sold in heeled. I'm guessing you still can now, but a lot of the modern sold on the shoes these days, they're just throwaway, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very sad. Yeah, I think I bought at least two pairs of shoes, not sandals. And funny enough, I remembered today my dad, my father, when he was, I must have still been living in St Helens, and he came home with the most gorgeous summer dress for me. And my mum used to then, that was part of the wife's department to buy the clothes. But he must have bought one from Pack and Culliver's, very posh. And I remember distinctly, it was lime green with white piping, a little bow that did up at the back. And it was sort of, I think it was Egyptian with the pyramids on and little Egyptian figures. And later he bought me a pair of leather sandals from Pack and Colourfoods with the peep toe, which were all the fashion. And I remember they were bright, I think they were bright red. So then I thought I was the bee's knees.
Well, I guess it shows how special items from there were, if you can recall it that detail.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a photo somewhere. Well, I must have only been 6 or 7. And I think I wore it for my school photo, when you did the special photo in those days. And it was, it's as clear as anything. As soon as I saw it, I thought, oh my God, I remember that dress. But it is weird, as you say, most distinct. I can't really remember any of my other clothes that I think he might have bought me a bathing costume there as well, with the little frills around the bottom, which was all the rage for young girls then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very special, and it lasted, I think it was the quality. I mean, I grew out of it rather than, you know, threw it away and bought another one. It was, yeah, I clearly remember that dress.
So that was at sort of 6 and 7. You being presented with it rather than going in and...
Yes. Dad came home with it. Goodness knows how he knew the size.
That was my first thought, yeah.
Because he was not a very demonstrative father. He was loving, but not... I mean, how he knew what size to get, I don't know. But he did. And he did with the shoes as well. So whether he asked Mum, I don't know.
And when you were buying the shoes for yourself, what sort of age were you then?
I would have been late 20s, I guess. And the shoes were built to last then. I don't think they were going out shoes. They were work, sensible shoes. But they did. They used to have beautiful shoes. Really lovely. It's probably as good as there was another shop still going. Russell and Bromley used to be in the Union Street. And Jones, the bootmaker. But they were as good as those. They were very specific and always different, which was good.
I was wondering what led you to buy them there rather than another shop.
I think, A, it was handy because I just could pop down the road through the shoe department, try them on. And I don't know who worked in the shoe department then, but they were always really helpful. And yet, I don't think you felt... I think because it was out the back, I was always conscious because I've got big feet. So if you're in a big, wide, open shoe shop trying on shoes... There it wasn't. It was sort of in the back, more enclosed. So I wasn't quite so much on display. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But the quality was always good. Pack and Colourfoods.
And did you remember the shoes in as much detail as the dress?
I can't. No. And that's weird, isn't it? Because I remember something when I was 6 or 7, but I can't remember in my late 20s. But no, I can't. I can't. Can't remember them at all.
I guess when you're 6, you get a dress once every 5 years, whereas...
Quite true.
Yeah.
I mean, especially something that was that special, that it's not something Mum's bought in, I don't know, I tend to decry Woolworths, or we weren't very well off, so it was probably, might have been a couple of hand-me-downs and something that was from a cheaper shop,
And you mentioned sandals? Did you say
my sandals? Yeah. Dad bought
that was
those.
When you were young still.
That's when I was about the same age, 6 or 7. I don't think I ever bought any sandals in Pack and Colourfoods.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sure I didn't. But those were, all the young girls had them then. They were all the peep toe with the ankle strap and the leather sort of cut out design. I can't, you're too young to remember, Simon.
I think I know, yeah. Little poles punched in them.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, those, okay. They were those. And they, because they were bright red, I mean, that was stunning.
What about other places, other shopping you did at the Elizabeth Packs? Other shopping you might have done there?
Hosiery. I bought all my tights there.
Why are you there?
I don't know. I think it was the quality and they used to last. And yeah, it must have been the quality. And they weren't cheap compared to other shops that you go to. But all of that I bought there. I was thinking I bought a swimming costume, but I don't think I did. I would definitely go in the sales, just in case. And I remember my friend Liz said she bought a bright red duffel coat that was in the window in the sale that had her name on it. So then that would have been, even in the sale, quite expensive. But I don't think she said she still got it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. think so.
And what was the perception of the shop then?
The perception from my...
Yeah, the general population today.
I don't know how to say that. I think it was probably generally thought that you weren't well off, but you certainly weren't working class to shop there. And that's not to say if you were working class and you went into the shop, you were treated in any way different from anyone else. Mm-hmm. But I think it probably, yeah, you were thinking more of the upper class, middle to upper class, would shop in Pack and Culliford's. Yeah, maybe. I might have got that wrong, but from my perception, probably, that's what I would say.
So if you'd have said to somebody that I've just bought some new shoes from Pack and Culliford's or from Elizabeth Pack, they'd be like, ooh.
I think they would. Yeah, they'd be most impressed. Maybe that's the thing, buy things there to be impressed. But I know my friend Kay bought several, not long before they closed, evening dresses there. And she said they were just such an amazing choice.
Mm.
And for us as youngsters as well, it was an adventure to go off the island on the ferry to shop in Portsmouth, and obviously you've got a larger selection there. But I guess I used to think then, even in my late 20s, that it was the older generation more that shopped in Pack's, but that wasn't true really, because I'd say all the brides would go there.
Well, I guess that's, I must have seen or picked up on that, and hence the Miss Pack's and maybe that type of clothing.
I think you're right.
Groovy 60s, whatever phrases used to be used then. 60s,
I think 70s. You're right. It would have been 70s, 80s even, I expect.
Okay.
So maybe they realised there was a market there for the younger generation. Yeah, that could possibly be right. A bit like Marks and Spencer's now.
Right. That didn't mix with the other stock that they had.
I'm not that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't remember that.
There was one of the people, Christine, I spoke to. She was saying that she had thought, she used to do the windows there.
Yes.
And sort of amazing descriptions of stuff they used to put in there. And she wondered whether Miss Pack's, the colours that were there, then I guess it's part of the time as well, started to influence the clothes that were available in Elizabeth Pack's.
Possibly. Yeah, I do remember the colours. So she's probably right there. It was always very colourful. It was never bland colours or pastel colours even. It would always be brighter colours and modern with it, but classy.
And what about you saying somebody you knew had bought a wedding dress? Did they describe the experience?
My bestie, Kay. She said she bought her wedding dress. I won't go into any more detail. That was for her first wedding.
Okay.
But yeah, she said that's where you went. She went with her mum, and I think her mum bought her mother of the bride costume as well. I think that was generally the thing. Brides would go and get their bridal dresses, and the mums would go along and buy their dresses, and probably the aunties as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only other option was if you went to... It was Alders in those days. If you went to Portsmouth, there was Alders, and then later Debenhams. But Pack and Culliford's would be the place.
And we'd heard of shoes being dyed to be the same colour as different outfits.
Really? You know, I haven't heard of that one. I must say, obviously, there was a De Bells in Newport, wasn't there? And my other friend, Pam, did her apprenticeship there. She worked there for a year when she... was, I think she was still at school. She went on to be a maternity nurse. But she remembered that really well.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Oh, now, let's go back to your dad's involved, because the detail of the work that he did, we possibly can't recall. Is that right?
Can't recall that, no.
But he was involved with, I mean, this is something that quite a few people have mentioned to us, is the floats that they used to have for various parades.
Yeah.
Do you remember some details about those?
I do remember the one which I thought I was imagining, but I obviously wasn't. It was of a cage with models inside with different costumes on. I can't even remember if it was furs or whatever, which these days would not be very politically correct. But I know, I remember they were quite glamorous models, and they were dressed up inside this cage. I do remember there was the Concorde they did one year, and I'm sure my dad must have been involved in that as well. But it's amazing to think that Pack and Culvers and David Guy was paying someone to do a float. But in those days, probably very good advertising.
I was thinking, yeah, it's sort of what would be called a marketing budget these days.
And pretty good marketing. You'd go around, you wouldn't... Obviously, the carnivals were always held in the summer, so you wouldn't just have the islanders there. You would have whole floods of tourists that would come just for the carnivals.
Mm-hmm.
So, very good marketing ploy. So Dad must have done it quite well. I hope it worked.
And you don't? Do you remember him constructing them? Or
I don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't.
I guess, yeah, I mean...
And I'm wondering where he would have done it.
Right.
Because he had a very small workshop and shop in Haylands, where we were, not far from where we lived. But he didn't have a big yard, so I'm wondering where they would have constructed those.
Yeah, and I guess, I don't just think of the sort of general public walking past, what are you doing building a cage?
Yeah, yes, quite so. Yeah, that's weird. It's a shame I can't remember. It's just, perhaps someone else would jog the memory.
The photos I've seen of the cage, it looks substantial.
You know, as in how huge?
Oh, 7 foot across by 3 or 4 foot. But, solid bars. I mean, I guess they're wooden rather than metal.
Oh, no, it would have been wooden.
Yeah.
Because Dad was a chippier carpenter who trained originally. So, yeah. And I guess you asked about the work. I think it would have been anything from replacing woodwork to painting anything, anything that looked a bit shabby and needed a lick of paint or, any repairs at all. Dad was your man.
Mm.
Mr. Simmons, Leonard Simmons, built us a ride. On the side of his lorry, I remember it.
And so that you don't know that if he did the conversion from when it was Woodson Wilkins?
I know. I would imagine not. I imagine that was, I don't think it was any substantial work, should I say, not large changes like that. I wouldn't bet against it, but I really don't think so. No, I think he was more of a, let's call Len, Mr. Simmons, sorry, not Len. Something needs a lick of paint or something needs repairing or, we're going to make a cupboard there or I imagine that sort of work is what Dad did.
That's a great client to have, isn't it? For someone who calls you up the whole time and asks you to do bits of work.
It does, yeah. Yes. Yeah, excellent.
And on that, you brought a sort of an accounts book in today. Yeah.
I don't know why, because I didn't know I was going to be doing this. I found in Dad's belongings, it was his old accounts book, handwritten, as you can see, completely falling to bits. And I found a bill in the back for 1960, so I imagine it was very early 60s. And Mr. Guy's name was in it as David Guy.
Not controversial.
P&C and Pack and Culliford, so... Yeah, so it just shows that we kept a log of everything. Did have an accountant, but I'm guessing that was his log.
It's sort of, the way it's written out with figures and on this, it's sort of a paper version of a spreadsheet.
It was. Yes, exactly what it is. But my father had lovely handwriting, much better than mine, and it obviously stands the test of time. It's, it's really good. But well, very yellowing now.
Maybe we could take some. We'll take some snaps of those.
Yeah, could do. Okay. Yeah. I've noticed he's actually included my mum in there.
Oh, so as a client.
would give her spending money.
Okay.
But P&C there, so that's obviously Pack and Culliford's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Great. Well, is there anything, any other memories you have, or that friends have spoken about in the past about the shops?
I can't think of any others. I mean, it's amazing when you do speak to friends now and they will often say, oh yes, I bought so-and-so in Pack and Culliford's. And for instance, as I say, my friend Liz that bought the red, bright red duffel coat and it stands out. Any number of people that would have shopped there, for be it for hosiery or swimming costumes or wedding dresses, anything that big. That that's it for my memories. It's bled me dry, Simon.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.